Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, a new report from the Rutland Centre shows a dramatic surge in the number of people seeking treatment for multiple addictions, including cocaine and gambling. The study from the Addiction Treatment Centre says 62% of people presented with multiple addictions last year, up from 48% in 2022, while 20% of people were struggling with issues involving three or more substances or behaviours. And that's from their annual report. I'm joined now by Professor Colin O'Gara, who's Head of Addiction Services at St John of God's Hospital and Clinical Professor of Psychiatry at UCD. Professor O'Gara, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
Can I talk to you about something that sticks out straight away? This dramatic surge in multiple addictions. Is that a surprise to you at all?
No, not in the slightest, because, you know, presentations to frontline addiction services don't come, you know, it's, you know, somebody presenting usually with a single issue. It's usually, say, alcohol and cocaine, which is an unbelievably common combination. Say, cannabis, you know, generally would be taken with alcohol as well. So, you know, you tend not to see singular issues, Cormac. It tends to be a combination of things. So that doesn't come as a surprise at all. I mean, I think the increase, you have to ask, well, why is there an increase in those combinations? I guess that's just overall the backdrop is that all drugs have increased in frequency, really. But, you know, the main one obviously would be cocaine. But in terms of, you know, a treatment point of view, that combination also reflects the complexity of what we're dealing with. So
what do you mean by that now?
Well, as a treating team, you're not going to be, you know, treating one drug alone with one set of side effects from that drug. For instance, cocaine with its physical and mental severe effects. You're also dealing, for instance, with the effects of alcohol, which again has a different set of effects, similar, but a different set of effects on the body. So, you know, it makes, you know, I guess this highlights the fact from this centre and our own that people present with a whole host of physical and mental difficulties. Okay. And I suppose that reflects the work we do as addiction specialists.
But why the jump then? Because the Rutland are saying that 62% of individuals, nearly two out of three, presented with multiple addictions. And they're saying that's a big increase from 48% in 2022. So why has it jumped? Yeah. Is it the prevalence of multiple drugs? Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think people are mixing, Cormac, you know. I think, you know, it's really a reflection of the increased backdrop prevalence of all drugs at the moment, you know. I mean, if you look at cannabis is complicated by cannabinoids, HCC being an example. So that's kind of supercharged. Cocaine is complicated by crack cocaine now, which is not just a drug of marginalized communities. And opioids are complicated, you know, heroin and morphine. It's now fentanyl, you know, so or nitazine or other drugs. So all drugs across the board, we're seeing a more potent drugs coming online. And we're also seeing within the, you know, society, we're seeing people using multiple drugs. So I think it's more about severity of presentation as well, you know, that people are, it is getting more severe at that end.
You mentioned fentanyl, Colin, and maybe an awful lot of people would know fentanyl from documentaries from the US or whatever, where it's highly addictive and but it's cheap and very available. Do people, are they addicted to stuff like fentanyl before they even realize it?
Well, thankfully, I mean, in terms of the opioid crisis in the States, we're not at a stage where we have those kind of issues. I mean, if you look at a documentary like Heroin with an E at the end, you have first responders going out not to fires or taking cats down from trees. These first responders are going out to people who've suffered overdoses, you know. So, you know, that is a huge, huge problem in the States, one of the leading causes of death in the States in young people. But we don't have that here yet, which is good news. But in terms of the, you know, the ability for drugs like fentanyl to cross boundaries and cross borders, it's a very small drug and can be transported very easily. Mm-hmm. My concern is looking at something like cocaine at the moment, a movement of crack cocaine into a non-marginalized demographic, I am concerned and have been for a long time about the possibility of fentanyl getting hold in Ireland.
Really, because of the prevalence of it again. And let me give people a figure from the Health Research Board earlier this year. They said the use of powder cocaine increased by 197% between 2017 and 2023, and crack cocaine increased by 594%. That
yeah,
is shocking.
I mean, look, I'm very mindful of not coming across that, you know, it's terribly hysterical and, you know, it's all terrible. You know, I would say that we treat a lot of people, Cormac, and they get very well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm here at the end of a day of work here that, you know, we've seen a lot of people today and they're doing very well, you know. But at the same time, I suppose, from a public health point of view, and this is a, you know, key part of our work is actually trying to get the messaging out there that, you know, something like cocaine is a very normalized and I'd say even glamorized drug at this stage. And, you know, from a medical point of view, it's a drug that leads to serious cardiac, you know, neurological events like stroke and then mental health effects like psychosis, you know. So I am concerned. I mean, I am very concerned about the spread of crack cocaine from you know, marginalized communities out into all demographic. And I think the opioid crisis, we need to be very, very aware that has potential. And I think, again, all I can do, I suppose, is the messaging on it is that people do need to be aware. I mean, the HSE have done a lot of work in recent times about the dangers of, for instance, nitazine and other opioids. But, you know, from a harm minimization point of view, this ties in with needle exchange, it ties in with decriminalization. There's so many things that can be done. But from my point of view, I reckon it's, you know, comes back to that thing on funding and a real political, sustained political commitment rather than, look, it's in the news today, but it goes quiet for a while. I think we do have a significant public health issue here and we do need to do something about it.
Okay. Now, we're talking about drugs, but the Rutland Centre's the messaging, I suppose, from the annual report is about addictions. And they talk as well about gambling. And 20% of the centre's outpatient admissions were for gambling addiction. Is that similar in how you treat that kind of an addiction to a drug addiction, say?
Yes, and you know, so there's you know, primarily talking therapies that are evidence-based through international randomized controlled trials, so they work. And there's also medications, again, which work. The problem, Cormac, with gambling is that we have next to no treatment services for that particular addiction. Now, we have a gambling regulatory bill, which is due to be enacted. It's just coming through the Senate at the moment. And we have a gambling regulatory authority, which is set up and has been funded. So, you know, there's good news on that front, I guess. But in terms of the funding of, say, you know, inpatient and outpatient services in every province, you're talking huge money. Now, there's a levy put forward on the betting industry for what's called a social fund. And again, the level that that's going to be put at has not been decided. So we need to be very clear on what that level is going to be. Is it going to be 1%? Is it going to be 2%? Or what is it going to be? But we know it's very expensive to establish hospitals in Ireland. And if we're serious about treating gambling addiction in Ireland, we do have to look at treating people in the inpatient setting.
Yeah.
Because gambling addiction in its severest form is a very serious condition, complicated often by suicidal ideation and completed suicide. So, I mean, I'm afraid it's the same message for me again. I'm starting to sound boring on this, but like it is funding,
mm-hmm.
and it is political commitment.
Yeah.
Both is what's needed, and hopefully we'll get that. By the way, in gambling,
it's not boring at all. In a way, it's shocking, if I may say, because the effects of these addictions is so devastating. We've spoken to the victims or survivors of these addictions on the programme previously, and it is devastating, the effect of it. So if the treatment services aren't there, well then surely alarm bells are ringing. The Rutland is saying that they are going to introduce a gambling-specific outpatient programme for what they say is this growing need. But can I ask you, Colin, about what they say remains the predominant addiction at the Rutland Centre, and that's alcohol. 65, nearly 2 out of 3, 65% of inpatient clients sought help for alcohol addiction last year. And that is a drug that's available everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and they're spot on. And I mean, glad that they've highlighted that, because, you know, at the end of the day, alcohol, we're probably approaching 10% of the population suffering from alcohol dependence, and 40 to 50% of the population engaging in regular, repetitive, harmful binge drinking. So, you know, in many ways, alcohol is the gateway drug. Cannabis is often talked about as a gateway drug, but really alcohol is the gateway, particularly to cocaine and to a whole host of misery, both physical, mental, occupational, social, everything across the board. And, you know, we in Ireland, I guess you could say a lot of our other problems in addiction stem from the good old problem with alcohol. And, you know, it's something that is genetically, you know, we're genetically predisposed, in my view, and culturally as well, we have a significant issue with it. And there's no question that, you know, every single day working as an addiction specialist, alcohol will be at the top. So okay. Those figures, I think, appropriately reflect it, you know.
Okay. Professor Colin O'Gara, Clinical Professor of Psychiatry at UCD and Head of Addiction Services at St. John of God's Hospital in Dublin. Thank you very much indeed.